Please turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Remain standing, please. You will be seated for a while. Luke 15, this is a very familiar passage for many of us. I'm going to read from verse 11 to verse 24. Luke 15. Luke is in the New Testament. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the word of the Lord. And here at Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that since the Bible is God's word and we are God's children, then the Bible is God's word for us. Father, we come before you thanking you for every opportunity you give us to come to you and to know you and to grow in this relationship. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this day. May your word accomplish what you intend it to accomplish, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Children, you are released. Oh, Bob, it's good to see you.
Hi there.
It's good to see you, Bob. Bob was going through some challenges, but it seems like the Lord has seen him through. The event, the parable that Jesus is talking about here is important for us today. He begins with the lost sheep, then he talks about the lost coin, and then he talks about the lost son. This is a son that wants to be away from his father. He is tired of his father's constant nagging. Do this, do that, make your bed, brush your teeth, do your homework. He wants nothing to do with that. And so after thinking through, he tells his father that he wants his share of the estate. He wants his inheritance to be given to him. He wants to be his own boss, his own man. He wants to go where he wants to go, do what he wants to do, get up when he wants to get up without anyone else telling him what to do. The father has tried to explain to his son that the ways of this world are complicated without any success. And so he decides to give in to his request. He has an older brother who wasn't asking for anything. And the young son receives what he is asking for. He gathers himself, prepares himself, takes the money that he has, and he travels to a far country. He wanted to be as far as his father as it was possible. He was enjoying that moment. He takes all that belongs to him. He's probably feeling on top of his world. He has the latest hairstyle. He's attracting friends. Strangers are laughing at his jokes. He is enjoying life. He's probably telling himself, like Frank Sinatra, "I am doing it my way." In this far country, he enjoys with friends. We are told that he squanders his wealth with reckless living. He is drinking, partying, probably gambling and losing. And it doesn't take long. The swag is over. Everything is gone. His friends avoid him. He stops trending. He had gone viral for a moment, but now no one is liking him. No one is following him. He can't even pay his bills. He's lonely and homeless. And he begins walking door to door, knocking, looking for a job. Until he finds a job in a farm to feed pigs. He has fallen so low. And as he feeds the pigs, he's tempted to eat the food that the pigs eat. And then something happens to him. Something happens to his mind. The Bible says he comes back to his senses. Which means when he was asking for his share of inheritance, he was out of his senses. When he was squandering his wealth with reckless living, he was out of his senses. Now that he has fallen so low, now that he is in need of help, his eyes are open and he comes back to his senses. He remembers his father. He remembers the servants that were serving his father and how his father cared for them. How nice they were living in his father's house. He remembers that. And he makes a decision right there. He says, "I will go back to my father. I will return home." Comes back to his senses, makes up his mind. This is what repentance is all about. It begins with the realization that what I have done is wrong and I want to make it right. It is a change of mind. He even rehearses what he's going to say. He says, I will go back to my father and I will tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, referring to God, and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I don't deserve to be your son. Just make me one of your servants. That will be enough for me. He prescribes for himself the kind of punishment that he should get. And then he gets up and he begins to walk back home. There's a change that is taking place. It began in the mind, and now it's happening practically. He's taking the steps necessary to get back to the Father. Meanwhile, we are told that this father was hoping for his son's return. Like any father, like any mother, he was longing for the day he would reunite with his son. He's been praying every day he would wake up and just look, hoping that he would see his son, but each day added a disappointment to his number of days. But this day was different. Father woke up and he was outside. He was looking around with the same expectations, with the same hope, and he saw someone walking towards his house. He was weak. He was staggering. He was ashamed of himself, but he was walking towards the father's house. And the father, even though he may have been an old man, he looked and he could see something in him. Told him that this is your son. He's coming home. And in his old age, he couldn't wait for the son to come. The Bible says he ran towards him. And he put his hands around him and embraced him and kissed him. The son was, at this moment, the son is overwhelmed by the father's love. It's over the top. It sweeps him under his feet. And he begins to cry, Father, I'm sorry I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worth it to be called your son. But the father would hear none of it. Instead, the father says to his servants, come here. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Do it quickly. Make him look like my son. And then he says, and slaughter the fattened calf, the fattened goat, that we may celebrate. And they began to celebrate. And you may be asking yourself, and this is a question that you can't avoid asking, why would this father show love to a son that broke his heart? Why would he be so loving to someone that never cared about him? Why would he receive him with so much love? Thank you for asking. The father has an answer for that. He says in verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And I can add, he was blind and now he can see. He was out of his senses, but now he's come back to his senses. The Father is saying here that I know how it felt when he left. I know the pain, the disappointment. I understand that. I know that he was wrong when he was asking for his inheritance. When he left home without even saying goodbye. I know that he was wrong. But I am his father. And he's back now. He was wrong when he left, but he's right now that he's coming back. And because I am his father, I have to receive him and I have to celebrate. From this point on, the son doesn't speak. But Jesus told us something in the same chapter, in verse 7 of Luke 15. He said, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. There will be rejoicing in heaven. There will always be rejoicing in heaven when a sinner turns to Christ. There is always joy when a baby is born in our families. There is always joy when someone is born in the family of God. Heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoiced when Jesus was born. The angels were singing when Jesus was born. Because the coming of Jesus was the coming of God's kingdom. It was the coming of God's salvation. It was the coming of hope and joy and peace. It was an opportunity for the lost to turn to Christ. This father here is a portrait of God, our Father. He reminds us of what God does when we turn to him. We may be ashamed of God because of our sins, but God is never ashamed of us. We may feel like running away because we have disobeyed, because we have rebelled against him, but God never runs away from us. He is always longing for the day that we will turn back to him. For the day that we will come back to our senses and realize that he is a loving father. I realize that some of us here may have had unloving fathers in their lives, abusive, or even absent fathers. And that experience may have affected how you see God as your father. My encouragement to you is this: allow God to redefine what it means for him to be a father to you. Allow him to redefine your understanding of what it means to be a father. I encourage you to see God as who he is. You know, God loves us because of who he is. He doesn't love us because of what we do. He loves us because of who he is. Do you know that there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more? There is nothing that you can do to make him love you more. Because he loves us because of who he is. He loves us because he is God. Probably you are asking yourself, Pastor Valerian, I can see your title says that Christmas is for the lost and found. And you're saying, I don't understand that. Why is Christmas for the lost and found? I'm glad you asked. Christmas is for the lost and found because Christmas is a story of love without limit. It is a story of love without limit. I think one of the passages in the Bible that explains this is John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? Very good, Adam. For God so loved the world. He so loved that he gave. When Jesus was being born, that was God giving his son. God knew that Jesus was coming to die. The giving began with the birth of Jesus Christ. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, was coming to live among us so that he can die for us. For God so loved Liz. For God so loved Jeremy. For God so loved Lawrence. For God so loved Roberta and Miles and Gary. For God so loved the world that he gave. When he gave his son, he was thinking about you. Christmas is a story of love without limit. That's why Jesus came and he ended up demonstrating that love by dying on the cross for us. So let me give you 3 points on why we celebrate Christmas. Number one, we celebrate Christmas because God has forgiven us. It is always a reminder that our sins have been forgiven. We celebrate Christmas because God has forgiven us all our sins. Like the father who received his son, embracing him, putting his hands around him, even though he may have been dirty and stinky, and with all the love, he embraced him and kissed him. It shows how forgiving this father is. He could have said, go back to where you are coming from. He could have looked at his son and said, I want nothing to do with you. Don't call me your father. Don't come to my house. But he did not. It says in Hebrews 8, verse 12, God says to his people, Hebrews 8:12, "For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." The only thing that God chooses to forget is our sins. He makes it a personal choice to forget our sins. We celebrate Christmas because God has forgiven all our sins. Number two, we celebrate Christmas because God has accepted us as his children. I never had an experience of having a father in my life. But when I came back to my senses, when Jesus found me, my eyes were opened and I realized that I had a better father than any other father you can talk about or look for. And now I'm not fatherless. And I'm grateful that God is my father. God has accepted us as his children. This is what the father does in this passage. When he says, "Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet," he is distinguishing his son from the servants. The servants were not wearing sandals. They didn't have rings because the ring identifies him as a member of that family. The sandals puts him on a different class, a different level. The father is accepting this son as his son. The son wasn't ready to be accepted. He was ready to take a position of a servant. The father says, no. My love will not accept that. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." See, this is the miracle of salvation. It doesn't matter where you are coming from. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. When you turn to Christ, he begins to transform you. You become a new creation. He doesn't consider where you are coming from because that has been dealt with, and he begins to walk with you in this new life. The old has gone, the new has come. And this should be the same way we see one another. We have to look at one another not in our past, but in our present. Because God has accepted us as his children. Number three, we celebrate Christmas because God has opened a new chapter for us. The old chapter is closed. There is a new chapter that has been opened. There's a new life that we are expected to live. There is a new street that we are walking on. There are new behaviors that we need to learn. There is a new message. There is a new hope. There is a new chapter that has been opened. The Father brings his Son home to start afresh. And it begins with a celebration. The celebration does not begin with us. It begins with the Father. This is a practical application of love without limit. Whenever we turn to God, God accepts us. He's willing to forgive us. He's willing to accept us as his children. This is good news. The bad news is our sins have separated us from God. Our disobedience has broken our fellowship and in many ways the relationship that we should have with our Father. The good news is the Father is longing for our return. If you are here and Jesus Christ is not yet your Savior, the bad news is that you are separated from God. The good news is God is longing for your return. He's waiting for you to turn around, to come back to your senses and realize that there is peace, there is joy in the Father's house. To realize that the Father is willing to accept you, he's willing to forgive you, and he is willing to open a new chapter for you. If Jesus is not yet your Savior, let this Christmas remind you that you have an opportunity to come back to your senses and turn to the Father, because Christmas is a story of love without limit. In fact, if someone asks you, you went to church, yes, I did. What did the pastor talk about? What was the message? Just tell them, he said that Christmas is a story of love without limit. God has loved us unconditionally. He has accepted us and he has opened a new chapter for us. Christmas is not about December 25th. It has nothing to do with December 25th. In fact, Christmas is about coming home to the Father. Christmas is about seeing the lost turn to the Savior. As Christians, Christmas for us should be about making our church a place where people can find healing and hope and peace and joy. That is our Christmas. If anything, you and I should celebrate Christmas every day. We just use this occasion to remind ourselves, but it should be in our desire, it should be our goal to celebrate this love every day. When we wake up in the morning, we should remind ourselves that God loves us without limit. And this is why, for me, I have hope. I have hope for those who have not yet turned to the Father. I have hope because I know that the Father is willing to receive them. This is the encouragement that we have when we are sharing the gospel with the lost. It's because we know that the Father is looking forward into receiving them to his family. He says that he is patient and long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone may come to repentance. My wife was preparing a lesson for children, and she read this verse. I had her reading this verse, and so I asked her, what does it mean that God is long-suffering? And she gave me one of the best answers, something that I never even thought of. She said, he suffers long. God endures the pain of seeing us turn away from Him, of seeing us rebel against His word, of seeing us living recklessly. He endures that pain as He waits to receive us back. He endures that pain, hoping that we will come back to our senses before it's too late, and He will embrace us. This is every father and every mother that has had an experience of a child, a prodigal child, a prodigal son, or a prodigal daughter, always endures the pain, the disappointment, the discouragement, the broken heart that he has experienced as a result of this child turning away. But this father, this mother, if this father and this mother are Christians, they will also have the patience, hope, that this daughter, this son, will come back to their senses. And this is where I tell parents, don't stop praying for your son. Don't stop praying for your daughter. Don't give up on them. God doesn't give up on them. You should not. Don't say, I have done everything. You can still pray. And prayer actually helps you as well. Through prayer, God provides you with the patience that you need to endure the pain. He provides you with the peace that you need to understand that He is in control. Brothers and sisters, it is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to minister to you, and that as you celebrate Christmas, you will remember that it is a story of love without limit. Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for this opportunity again, and I thank you for reminding us that you love us, and that your love is without limit. Lord, you understand us. You know the challenges that we face, the questions that we ask. You know our needs, Lord. And we know that you have a way of reaching unto us. You have a way of making yourself known. You have a way of opening our eyes and enabling us to come back to our senses. I pray even for that one person who is yet to accept you as Savior, that Father, in your own way, you may draw her and him to you. And above all, Lord, I pray for your people. I pray that you may encourage them by reminding them that you have loved them, you have accepted them, you have forgiven them. That Father, you are their Father. And we know because you are our Father, we can continually have hope and enjoy with you. In Jesus' name, may everyone say, Amen. Amen.